Thank you for tuning into A Spirit-Led Life with HMI. We hope you enjoyed today's session with Pastor Dion Hockey.
We were speaking, okay, last week we weren't live with you, but the week before that we started a new series that the Lord laid on my heart, Breaking Limitations. Now, I found that there's so many people that are continuously getting stuck. They get to a point in their life and they never move past that. There's not progression. You get to a certain stage, it feels like you're doing everything right, but you cannot take the next step into the next season of your life, if you can say it like that. Because there are limitations that are hindering the individual, the business, the body of Christ from stepping into the full plan that God has for you. And many of the times it's this subconscious, behind the scenes things that you don't even really think about that is hindering you from stepping forward into the purpose that God has for you. We spoke about, firstly, about legalistic traditions and how churches have failed to step into the new season, into a new glory, because they are holding on to an old way of doing things. Now, I made this very clear. Go rewatch that session. No compromise. I mean, we spoke about that over and over. You don't compromise the Word of God. But there are modern day tools that we can use in order to extend or expand our reach to get the gospel out, not just to one generation, not just to one segment group, but to multiple generations, to multiple people, multiple races. That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to get as many people into the kingdom of God that we can, but we cannot allow legalistic traditions to stop us from stepping into the plan that God has for us. Remember, Moses hit the rock when God said, speak to the rock. Because Moses did it the first time and it worked, but the second time God says, no, I don't want you to hit the rock. I want you to speak to it. And it's the same thing. Don't go back and do it the same way that you always do it because you think it's the right way. Make sure you have found guidance from God and follow His guidance in order to break through those limitations. Yes. Then we spoke about the fear of the unknown. How many people limit themselves because they are too scared to take the leap of faith and trust God? Fear is limiting so many lives. Fear is limiting so many people from stepping into the true calling that God has for them. Don't let fear override you. Don't let fear stop you and hinder you from stepping into destiny. Then today, and I want to get into this now, we're going to speak about the mind. If you are with me and you're excited about today's session, I want you to comment the mind. All right? Comment the mind for me, because here, how many people fail because of the battle that happens in your mind, in your head, and God wants to break these limitations? My dad just read 3rd book of John, verse 2, which says, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Which tells me, the way my soul, remember your soul is your mind, the way your soul prospers will determine how every area of your life will prosper. Every area. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. If your soul is not prospering, it is telling me that there are limitations in your mind that has been placed upon you, and it is stopping you from walking in the true potential that God has for your life.
Come on.
You cannot allow this. Amen. There are invisible ropes that are tied around your mind, and you do not even know this. I want to just share, like, I see people saying they sowed. Yes, thank you for those that said they sowed. God bless you all. And thank you for commenting the mind as well. I want to share a story. This really happens. It still happens today. Where you find, I don't know, many of you have probably heard this, but you find elephants. And when you find these little elephants, and you know they may be in a captured environment, and people that own them, you know, would take them when they were little. They would take them and they would put a little rope around the ankle of the what do you call it, of the elephant, yeah, around the ankle of the elephant. They would tie it to like a little wall or a gate, a fence or whatever, and the elephant cannot move because he's not strong enough to move. So, you know, he's little, he tries back. When he was young, he had this like zeal in him to try and break free, but he couldn't break free from the rope. So eventually, after trying and trying and trying, the elephant decided, well, I am not strong to break free from this rope. I'm not strong enough to break free from the stronghold, if I can say it like that. So what does he do? He grows up with this mindset that I'm not strong enough. But even though he grows in stature, he grows in size, I mean, all that he has to do is kick his leg forward and the rope will snap just like that, hence the rope in the background. But now, as the elephant gets older, he's wiser. He's, you know, he's gone through all the steps of growing. Then all of a sudden, now it is time to break free. But what is holding him? Because he's strong enough to do it. It is his very mind that is limiting him from breaking free from this rope. It's no longer his strength. It's no longer the power. He can easily break it. But his mind has conditioned him, wow, to think that I cannot break free. I even saw a photo of a big elephant in Asia that was tied to a little rope connected to a little plastic chair. He would not move, even though the chair's not even connected to him, but the elephant would not move because the rope had a stronghold on his mind.
Sad.
It's not what it was connected to, the very rope, and this is the thing that the Lord spoke to me. He said, Stephen, there are many people that have a little rope that is holding them back from stepping into the plan that God has for them. Maybe you grow up in a very bad environment. Your parents were not, you know, good parents. They spoke bad over you. They abused you. Maybe the friends you surrounded yourself were also breaking you down, and you're always around this negative environment, maybe a poor environment, and you always had this growing up, and that is what you were told, that is what you experienced, that is what you saw. And you got lassoed, if I can say that. There was a limitation thrown around your mind, and as you got older, maybe you decided to give your heart to Jesus. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you grew. You read your Bible. You prayed. You grew in stature. You grew, you know, you became strong in the Lord. But without you knowing it, and this is what the Lord spoke to me, people quote scripture. They quote a lot of things, but you do not see it manifest in their lives.
Yep.
They are strong enough to now break this limitation. But it is this little rope that has held them bound from many years ago. Maybe you felt not good enough. Maybe you felt unworthy. You didn't accomplish things like other people accomplish them. And this rope has bound you. And even though you quote as many times as you want, I have the mind of Christ. You quote as many times as you want, you know, all these, you know, beautiful verses, I can do all things through Christ. You quote, you know, all these wonderful promises of God, but they are not manifesting in your life because there is a root, a little rope, whatever you want to call it, that is holding you bound and stopping you from stepping into promise that God has for your life.
Come on.
How many times do we see this? People can quote scripture left, right, and center. I mean, they know the word of God so well, but you do not see the manifestation of the word. It tells me that even though you are speaking it, deep down inside, you do not believe it. God is saying that you are smarter, but in your growing up, something inside of you held you and it says, no, you are not. You're not good enough. And then God is trying to break this mold that has come upon Christians they stop believing the true word of God. Now, am I saying if I read the Bible and stuff, I can't be free? No. If you read the Bible You apply the Bible and you let the Bible renew your mind. Then you will walk in that freedom. But if I just read the word and it is like just a sound in my ear and it sounds nice, it doesn't have any effect in me. I have to believe it and I have to let it renew me and change me in order for that rope to break off of my life.
How do we exercise this practically? Well, take for instance James chapter 4 verse 7 that says, submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm just trying to use those examples. I think there might be some people saying, well, you know, I'm quoting the word, why is it not working? Well, if we use, for example, James 4:7, a lot of people just say this. They say, well, I'm resisting the devil. The key is here is to get the scripture in the right fullness, where he says, first of all, you have to submit to God. In other words, you can't be a lukewarm Christian and expect to be able to resist the devil. You have to be committed to God, sold out to God. You know, you have to be walking with the Lord in relationship with God, in prayer and the word and worship and all of that stuff. And that's when he says submit to God. Then he says resist the devil and then he will flee from you. So we can't just say, hey, I'm resisting the devil, you know, and I'm not going to go through any trouble. How do you resist the devil? You got to use the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you speak the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is just a real simple, excuse me, Stephen, this, because I just think there are people who struggle with this, but what's the point of me then confessing the scripture and everything? Confessing scripture and renewing the mind does not just stay by speaking, but it has to have a manifestation with the speaking.
Exactly.
You have to put the scripture that you are quoting into action. You got to work with that scripture. I'm sure you're going to teach all of that now. But you got to put works with your faith. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen.
Exactly. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And I know you guys know this. We read this a lot. But Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. The ing at the end of that means it is continuous. It is a renewing process that happens every day. I have to break through that mold and God has to change it within me.
Yes.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what the Lord was speaking to me about this, he told me, Stephen, so many people, they don't ever renew their mind. They quote this verse, but they don't renew their mind because Satan keeps throwing the same thing at them and they keep falling for the same thing over and over and over and over, which tells me that they have never renewed their mind on that topic, whether it is you're very negative or whether it is you're always breaking yourself down. Whether, remember, we're speaking about the mind because this is where the battle. If you fall for Satan's trap every single time it arises, then you have not renewed your mind. You have not yet renewed your mind. You cannot, and this is where it goes even further. Satan isn't even doing it anymore. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. This is that road. Satan, he did it in the beginning. He sowed the seed of doubt. But because you've gotten into such a habit of believing the lie, gotten into such a habit of speaking negative, over breaking yourself down, over not believing you're good enough, Satan isn't even involved anymore. He is sitting at the sideline and he's like, watch, he's going to be negative very soon and I don't even have to do anything and he's going to run with it. I don't even have to say a word because I've tied a rope around him many years ago.
Sure.
And I don't have to do anything. It's already there. He does all the work for me. She does all the work for me. I don't have to do it anymore because I've already tied them down as a child and I've won the battle even long ago. And this is where it's, I have to renew it. If I do not step into a place where I eventually have, I would say, victory in a certain area, you have not been set free. You need to be delivered from this. You can quote, like I said, you can quote as much as you want, but sometimes you have to get to the place where it said, I am not victorious over this. I need deliverance from this in my area, in my life.
A constant walk for all of us to continuously working on the mind, switching that switch. Satan now and then just comes and he puts on the switch of negativeness. Mm-hmm. And then I have to go and I have to switch that off. And if I struggle with that, then thank God I have family and friends to help me to say, you know what, Dad, stop saying that or stop being that. You know, renew your mind or change or practice what you preach or whatever. It's true. But I have to fight this battle even in my life.
I have to continuously
fight this thing.
Yeah.
And that's the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
If you do not fight those thoughts, those attacks that come to you, you know, you're going to struggle. Here's an example, if I may.
Yeah.
We say forgive.
Mm.
Now, how many people have we prayed for just in this last couple of weeks again? You know, we want healing and everything. We want breakthrough. And then we say to them, you must forgive. And they say, but I have forgiven. All right, then why are people struggling with this breakthrough if they say, but I have forgiven? It's because the enemy comes back every now and then, time and time again, and he reminds you of the person that has hurt you and offended you. Now, if you're not strong in your faith, if you're not strong in the word, you're going to allow those thoughts to come to you. Yeah. And here's the sad thing, you're going to entertain those thoughts.
Yeah.
And when you entertain those thoughts and you begin to confess those thoughts, the doors of unforgiveness just open up again. Old feelings return.
Yeah.
Old things, Satan reminds you just of these little things, but it's like Stephen said, then he goes and sits in the back, you know, and then it's us. We entertain these thoughts and we give life to these negative thoughts.
Yep.
And that's where we have to be mature enough to resist the devil and say, listen, I have to stop these thoughts getting into my head.
Renewing your mind is habitual. Breaking yourself down is habitual.
Come on.
The moment, you have to start making the decision, because eventually it's going to flow out of you, either one.
Yeah.
Either one's going to flow out of you. And the one that you favor will be predominant and people will see it as fruit in your life. This is why you need to break that mentality. You have to break that mindset of, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I'm not that. It's always, I'm not. Break that mindset. Renew your mind. Be transformed to the Word of God. Be built up by the Word of God. God will bless you. Let's go to Judges 6. Watch this. Judges 6, verse 11 to 16. And then we're going to read a little bit on after that. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Yes, Hetty, we need to forgive every day.
You're on the right way, Hetty.
Yeah.
Just keep 70 fighting
times
this
7.
Thing.
Just keep going. Judges 6, verse 11 to 16 says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, now who's he speaking to? The Lord appeared to Gideon. If you don't know where we are now, we are speaking about Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, look at this. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Remember this. This is very important. The first thing the angel does is he comes, says, God is with you. And he establishes identity before he says anything else. He says, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, verse 13, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Mm-hmm. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So the angel comes to him and immediately says, God is with you, you mighty man of valor. Immediately, he doesn't even listen. He cuts it out. He cuts it out. And he focuses on the negative. It's a mindset.
Wow.
What does he do? He complains. The first thing that you'll do with a person that is bound in his mind, he will always complain. Complain about this with God. God, where's the miracles? God, where's this? God, where's that? But then the Lord is speaking to me in this, and he says, God is not waiting to perform a miracle. God is not searching for miracles. God is not looking to see, oh, where can I do this next big thing? Or what was God looking for? God was not, while Gideon was complaining about the miracles, God was identifying an individual, which God is more concerned about you than he is about miracles, because he is looking for a person who is willing to run with the miracle. He's looking for the next person who's willing to go out and be used by God. That is what he was looking for. He's like, firstly, I'm with you, you mighty man of valor. Stop worrying about the other stuff. Stop worrying about what has happened, what hasn't happened. I'm looking at you because I have chosen you, an individual. So he continues in verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. He ignores him. He doesn't say, well, this is why God didn't perform miracles and this is why this didn't happen. No, he ignores it and he immediately, what does he do? He goes back to identity. He starts off by saying, I'm with you, mighty man of valor. Now he says, go in this might of yours. He didn't say, go in the might of the Lord. He never said that.
Yeah, he
said, go in the might of yours. Because God is trying to talk to people and say, but there's something inside of you. There is something great inside of you, a miracle inside of you that is going to bring the next great victory, that is going to bring the next great miracle. If you are limited in your ministry, if you are limited in your business, in your personal life, whatever it is because you are more focused on what is happening around than what God is speaking about you as an individual. And saying, go in the might of yours.
Hallelujah.
And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And God, again, he just establishes. He says, have I not sent you? How many people, it's like, I'm not good enough. You're not good enough, or you feel not good enough because your mind has told you you're not good enough. But God has already called you mighty man, woman of valor. I am with you.
Coming back to practicality.
Yeah.
Listen to this. You know this, but I'm just practical. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, give you a future and a hope.
Yeah.
Who's this speaking? This is God. Who's he speaking to? You and I.
Yeah.
What do we do? Oh, I'm a useless.
Yeah.
I'm going to accomplish
the
nothing.
The first thing you do is break yourself
I'm going to get nowhere. You know, I don't have a future. I'm not going to be rich. I'm not. And yet, it's just like with Gideon. Yeah, the Lord says, I'm thinking of you.
Come on.
I have plans for you. I have purposes for you. Not to bring harm and destruction, but to prosper you, to bless you, to help you, to give you a future and a hope. Bless God.
But
I'm not good enough.
Look at his response in verse 15. Watch Gideon. So the Lord ends and he says, have I not sent you? Then in verse 15, look at Gideon's response. So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Immediately, he lets his mind override what God has just told him. And that's what people do. It's like God has called you for so much more. Are you
Come
ready
on.
To step
Thank
into the
you,
next
Lord.
Season? Are you ready to step into the next promise that God has for your life? Well, I don't know. I'm the weakest among them. I'm not the whatever. I'm not the most clever among them. I'm not the this among them. I'm not the most powerful among them. I am the weakest among them. But then God, why did God say, you mighty man of valor?
Come on.
Because God sees something
yes.
in you that you do
yes.
not even see in yourself.
Hallelujah.
So if I continuously allow my mind to limit me, yes, I will not step into that which God has for me. This is where the warning comes in. Because your mind can limit you. If you believe that you will never have it, you will never have it. If you believe that you will never be rich, you will never be rich. If you believe that you will never be healthy, you will never be healthy. If you believe you will never be smart, you will never be smart.
Come
Whatever
on.
You believe, it will manifest in your life. Even though God has all these promises in the Word, He has all these good things that He says about you, if you do not choose to believe them and you do not choose to renew your mind and to walk in what potential God has placed in
yeah.
your life, you will limit your business, you will limit your family, you will limit your ministry, and you will not step ever into the greater mansion. You will stagnate. And you will stay right where you are until the day the Lord comes, because you have decided that my limitation in my mind, the way I break myself down, is more important than building myself up with the Word of God.
Man, I'm reminded of Pastor Chris Matavalu, who said the impala has the ability to jump 6 or 8 meters higher. And when he's chased by a lion, even though he has the ability to escape the claws of the lion, if he cannot see what is in front of him,
yeah.
he will not jump. He will just
yeah.
surrender and die. And God has put this ability of no limitations
yeah.
for us. And we limit ourselves by saying, well, I don't know what this future holds. Yet the Word
yeah.
of God says, I have a future for you. I have a plan for you. Gideon said, I can't do that. But God said, you're a mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Go in your strength. Go in your power. And he said, but I can't do this, you know. And this is such a relevant topic for most of us watching this morning, because we need to get out of the mindset of I can't, and get into the mindset of I can.
Yeah.
Not in my own strength, but through God. I
exactly.
can do all things. All things are possible, you know. Get that.
Yeah.
Don't limit yourself.
Yes.
This is so important.
Yeah. Amen. Just a special good morning to Jade and Shantae, Naren Sam. I'm glad to have you guys
on.
Good morning. Continue doing the amazing work you are doing for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So in verse 16, he continues. So he just had this pity party. I'm weak. I'm a nobody. And nobody loves me. Woe is me. And that's the mentality that Gideon had. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And God just again comes and says, he just ignores. He ignores. Have you seen that God never responds to negative responses
so
to him?
Thank
God,
you,
God doesn't do that. God doesn't entertain the thought. Not once in this whole conversation. He started off by saying, I am with you, mighty man of valor. Gideon moaned. Then God establishes again, you will go in the might of yours and have victory, for I have sent you. Gideon moans. And then again God says, I am with you. Stop looking at your surroundings and start trusting in God. Psalm 24 verse 7 to 10. And this is just, the Lord has been speaking to me so much about this lately. He says, lift up your heads. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Lift up your heads. And this is what I've been speaking about Abraham. Look up now.
Look up.
Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
Come on.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, I was reading this morning and I was like, whoa. Lift up your heads. And I feel like God was speaking to me even in that moment. And he said, stop looking down. Lift up your head so that you can see the King of glory. Because most people walk down like this, always looking down, because they're always breaking themselves down, always looking at their feet instead of looking up. Look at the King of glory. The more you're focused on him and the less you're focused on the devil, maybe you'll have some more accomplishments in your life. Because this is, people are so demon and devil obsessed that they forget that God is even in the picture. Yeah,
come on.
The devil has come and he will kill and he will destroy and he will have his way in your life. And they even forget to quote the second part of the verse where Jesus said, but I have come to bring life and bring it more abundantly. I don't care what the devil wants to do. I care about God bringing more life.
Yes,
I care about God handling every promise, doing his job that which he has said he's going to do for us. That's what I care about. I don't care about what the devil is doing. Stop telling me over and over, something went wrong in your life. Well, the devil... Just remember, the devil has his way in your life. Don't look at the promise. Remember, he's come to steal, so you just deal with it because it's in the Word. The devil will steal. Just be okay with it because he, every now and then he manages to creep through the gates of God and he manages to steal from you, to kill from you. It's okay. Just deal with it because it's a part of life. Now, I don't accept that type of mentality. We will walk in victory because God's promise is life. And life more abundantly in Jesus' mighty name. You want to add on?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, you know, you watch a rugby game, a soccer game, a rugby game, whatever, and you can see the team that's winning. The winning team is heads up, chest out, excitement, ready to score the next goal, ready to score the next try. There is a zeal inside of them. But look at the losing team. They heads are down, there's a negativeness about them. They're putting in an effort, but it's not the effort that you have from the winning team. The winning team is out full blast, and the losing team, and this is what I see on Sunday mornings when I get into a church and I see people's heads are down, especially in the worship. Instead of worshiping God with that joy and that and that zeal, it is, yes, I'm worshiping a God who can, I suppose, do something for me, but, you know, he'll do it for somebody else, maybe not for me. And they're not lifting up their heads. We have to lift up our heads and walk in the victory that Jesus has already won for us on the cross.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And praise God.
Just two more verses and we end. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. And this is just what the Lord, in your mind, whatever you believe in your heart, that is what you will become. And if you do not, again, if you do not renew your mind, if you do not renew your thinking, you will become that person that you so dreadfully break down all the time. You will become that person. And it's time to arise above it. If you want to step into the next promise of God for your life, you must rise above the thoughts that you think about yourself. Whatever these negative thoughts are about yourself, you need to rise above them so that God can use you more. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. This is my last one. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. And you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. So you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. How do we do it? Like my dad keeps saying, practically, in the name of Jesus. If I can keep my mind focused on the presence of God, if I can keep my mind focused on Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, if I can keep my mind focused on God, He will remain faithful in my life. But if I keep my mind focused on the devil, if I keep my mind focused on how I'm not worthy, then God will never take you to that next level. And you will always feel uneasy. You will not feel at peace, because it's only those who keep their mind stayed on God that will walk in peace. So let's walk victoriously in Jesus' name.
Amen. I purposefully put on my camouflage shirt today, because we're in the army.
Come on.
We are really, we're in a battle. We're in the battle of the mind. It's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
But this battle can be won.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, you can overcome your circumstances. I just read a comment here from Louise Engelbrecht saying, I used to walk with my head down, but no more. I used to think I'm not good enough. And yes, still today I struggle with that, but no more. I am good enough. That's it. You are good enough. And this is what we are trying to bring across, is to get that stinking thinking out of your head and to walk and talk like God sees you. I honestly believe, you know, Stephen, if God had to come and sit right here at the table with us, and God said, let me open your mind that you may see how I see you.
Yeah.
That you may have what I'm seeing. You know, we will never, ever be what we are right now.
Yeah.
If we just see what God has for us.
It's true.
And I pray, even now, that God will open up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, our spiritual eyes,
Thank you, Lord.
The blinding lies of Satan, that God will remove those blinders and open our eyes to how God sees us, how God perceives us, how God wants us to be. Lord, open the eyes of the viewers today to know that you do have plans for us, plans to prosper us, Lord. Just like Gideon, Lord, you gave us power. You said, in our strength we can go, in your strength we can go, Lord, that we do not have to fear or be afraid of the enemy anymore. I'm asking you, Lord, renew the minds of your people. Heal your people, Father, this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord,
thank you, Lord.
Take away the limitations. Break those limitations, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
in Jesus' name. Off of me, even, God, off of all of us this morning,
us,
that we can walk in your strength.
Jesus.
That we can go in your power, Father God, knowing that the best, Father, is out there, that you're taking us from glory to glory. Mm-hmm. And Lord, that Satan, I want to pray, Lord, Satan does not have the ability to stop us. He will only have that ability if we allow him to. But give us the strength, Father, to submit to you, to resist the devil, that we will walk in victory.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
You can make a difference by partnering with us, a ministry with a heart for the lost, by visiting our website www.dionhockey.org. You will also receive exclusive content from the ministry as a thank you from Pastor Dion Hockey. Remember to subscribe and follow our social media pages for updates, sermons, and more information on the ministry. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.